Welcome to this podcast on the subject of charity accounting. My name is John Calladine, and I wonder if during all the celebrations of Christmas and the New Year, you had a moment to listen to the New Year's address by the Archbishop of Canterbury. He used an expression which is often heard, to lead a life that makes a difference. Would your life make a difference during 2010? If you feel like me during the month of January, with a foot of snow on the ground, coping with long hours, endeavouring to get tax returns completed for clients who are totally uncooperative and unappreciative, or trying to file 31st of March year-end accounts by the 31st of January deadline, do you say to yourself, is all of this worthwhile, or what am I doing? You have perhaps survived the vigours of a monitoring visit and realise you have ended up with increased costs to comply with more red tape. You see your profits dwindling away, and yet down the road, unqualified and unregulated accountants seem to make a living and steal your clients. Well, if you feel like that today, can I introduce you to the world of charity accounting? For some, it may be a completely new market, or something they steer well clear of, because they are warned there is no profit in it. But yet, can I say, it can be a different area of work, where you do not always count rewards in terms of money. It is very much a developing area of work, sometimes called the third sector by the government, for some reason I have yet to fathom. I believe there is scope here for creating new areas of work and developing new skills for your CV and widen your accounting knowledge. You say why? But when the type of work you can do varies from doing the accounts for an amateur sports boxing club to dealing with a trust developing welfare and medical centres for a village in Uganda, or helping the abused and neglected street children of Tanzania or Chile, then you will certainly find it fascinating and enjoyable. Indeed, there will be a sense of reward that you are participating in helping organisations that seek to make the world a better place and to make a difference to our society. It is considered that the completion of charity accounts is far more complex than the average SME, but that's the challenge. Have a new skill. Be different. Well, what is different about charity accounting? Unincorporated charity accounts are prepared under the Charities Act, and if it is a charitable company, then under the Companies Act, with major legislation being the Charities Act 1993 and the Companies Act 2006, the Statement of Recommended Practice, March 2005, as well as the Financial Reporting Standard for Smaller Entities, FRISI for short. Instead of a profit and loss account, you have what is called a SOFA, Statement of Financial Activities, with several income and expenditure accounts for the various different funds of the charity, all of which are incorporated into the SOFA, i.e. Statement of Financial Activities. It is often this word funds that frightens the practitioner to death. I was always wary of the word trust in relation to taxation. Once you understand the difference between restricted, unrestricted and designated funds, then the mystery and worry is taken out of the equation. Restricted funds are those income and expenditure accounts dealing with money given for a specific project or given for a particular purpose. That money can only be used for that project stroke purpose and must not be used for the general purposes of the charity. Restricted funds are found in most charities, particularly where grant money is involved, with identified monies given by the big lottery fund or government departments for specific projects of a charity. Also, specified donations from individuals, whether by gift or legacy, have to follow the donor's instructions. Unrestricted monies usually are the general funds of a charity and relate to the core work and core costs of the charity, whilst designated funds relate to monies put aside out of general funds for specified purposes. This could be a repair fund, a new property fund, etc. But this money can always be transferred back or utilised for other purposes. In doing the accounts of any charity, it is always important that you consider the objects clause in the Constitution or the Memorandum and Articles of Association. to ensure that the charity is acting within these trusts. There is that word again. The average business usually has one target of work, but a charity can be involved in various community and charitable projects. The accounts and disclosure notes of a charity are complex, but there is help from the SORP 2005, i.e. Statement of Recommended Practice, what is termed the Charity Accountant's Bible, which is a detailed booklet setting out the reporting requirements of charity accounting and is readily available from the Charity Commission website. You have to be aware of the different threshold levels and whether accrual accounting is necessary or what type of regulatory reporting is required. A receipts and payments account is only necessary from an unincorporated charity to a level of £250,000 income per year. Whilst above that level, accrual accounts are necessary and mandatory for company charities at all levels. Above £500,000 per annum, an audit is required by a charity. And if the gross assets of the charity are in excess of £3.26 million, with income over £100,000 per annum, again, an audit is required. However, below that level, the charity only requires what is called an independent examination, which again is a useful area of work for the AAT practitioner. I'm sure if you search, you will find a podcast broadcast by me on the subject of independent examinations, and there is an AAT master course on this subject in June 2010, if you look at the AAT website for details. Funding applications are a major part of the work of any charity as it seeks to raise monies to sustain its ongoing work, and there is always additional add-on work here available for a practitioner eager to help in assisting charities to raise money. Why not broaden your horizons and look for work that brings a reward to you? I agree that sometimes charities are perceived to want work done cheaply. That is only because they seek to use their money wisely for charitable purposes and are always seeking additional funding. It is a work that an AAT practitioner could easily develop and expand or actually move into as a finance manager or finance director. However, a word of warning, be careful about becoming a trustee of a charity. Although it is rewarding, it can be time-consuming and usually no fees. I hope this podcast opens up a whole new world for you. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.